This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, go to CropMetcalf.com. Join their team today. Right now, we are joined by Brian Robinson Jr. He's presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. B-Rob, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
B-Rob.
Doing well. Did you do your homework? Did you figure out your walk-up song for this week? Or is that still a work in progress?
Oh, yeah. It's still up in the air. I should have that to you by the end of this week.
Okay. All right.
Did you think about it or did you forget? It's okay to admit you forgot.
I totally forgot. I'm so sorry.
Of course you did.
It's good, man. You got other things on your mind.
That's okay. Happened the same thing with Nick Dowd. Who's a fellow guy from Alabama, Nick Dowd from the Capitals.
That's correct.
Yeah, did you know?
He chose Sweet Home Alabama as his walk-up.
Did you know that there's a Washington Capital who's from Alabama, which is kind of strange because hockey is a northern sport, but he's from Alabama.
What part, though? That's probably why I don't know. If he's from some part like...
Huntsville,
yeah.
Oh, that seemed pretty common. I guess Huntsville is a... Seem like an area that can produce hockey players, I guess.
Really?
Okay.
How far is Huntsville from Tuskegee?
About 2 hours.
Okay.
About 2 hours.
All right. Well, you work on that for next week.
Yes.
All right. So we wanted to talk to you about first not playing on Sunday because I saw like a sideline conversation you were having there with Coach Quinn, and at that time, I don't know that we knew your status. Can you kind of take us through the whole decision-making process? Did you think you were going to play on Sunday? What happened?
I was hoping to be ready to play on Sunday. Obviously, the conversation me and Coach was having was just regarding, how I was feeling. And, we just kind of came to an agreement, based off of where I was and, what the future, looks like. And I just... he made a decision that, it probably wasn't best for me to try to, go. And, which I was on the same page with him. So, there was just us out there trying to test, my strength and where I was to see if it was a great decision for me to play.
So when you woke up in the hotel on Sunday morning, did you think to yourself, I can't go?
I never really, just check myself out of it. I'm always, gonna give myself the best chance to be available. So, I was hoping that, by the time I, got over to the stadium and did my preparation and stuff before I go out, that I would, be feeling, how I would need to feel to play a game. And, we went through some drills and some steps and we just, figured out, where I was at and, we kind of made the decision from there.
Brian, was it more an issue with the knee or the hamstring? Because I know that earlier in the season you were having issues with the knee, and I think the hamstring is a more recent issue for you.
Yeah, I feel like, those are kind of lingering things, that correlate with each other. you know, but it was definitely more on the hamstring side, you know, and, you know, dealing with a hamstring is very, very strict. You know, you gotta, you know, kind of be, you know, strict on it and make sure that you, you know, taking the proper, you know, steps, you know, as far as coming back. And I feel like that's another reason why that my time scale has been a little bit more prolonged, just because maybe I have not been taking those proper steps, and it's about time that I started doing that.
Mm-hmm. So when I was watching the pregame show, I can't remember if it was on, I guess it was on CBS, the camera was on you and Dan Quinn, and I can't remember the third person. You were standing on the side of the field mm-hmm. talking. Were you trying to convince Dan, yeah, I can go, or was he saying, you know what, it's not worth it. Let's, if you're not feeling 100%, let's sit you out and wait till next week.
Well, actually, me and Quinn, we was on the same page with it. You know, I told him, you know, exactly where I was with it, you know, exactly how I felt, and you know, he told me how he felt about it, and you know, we just, you know, made sure that we was, you know, just on the same page with everything, and you know, it wasn't just one pulling against the other mm-hmm. or anything like that. It wasn't me trying to convince him to like let me play. You know, we was clearly on the same page.
So, Brian, obviously, a lot is being talked about with this team being 7-2, and it usually starts with Jaden Daniels. But I thought the offensive line balled out this week in particular, facing a Giants team that was number one in sacks. Dexter Lawrence actually led the league in sacks coming into this game. Talk about how impressed you were, because you were just a fan, just like us, with the offensive line.
Right. This offensive line has literally just been getting stronger and stronger, man. I admire their growth and just how much accountability they take, you know, just as a unit. And it shows, you know, week in and week out, you know. And I couldn't just be more proud of them, because, you know, I just see so much growth in them. And, you know, guys, the leaders, you know, stepping up and, you know, taking that group under their wing, and they're starting to, you know, show, you know, who they are and what they can be.
I mean, they're balling. I mean, JP just threw out the stats. So the Giants were number one in the league in sacks. They were up there in quarterback hits, too. They didn't touch JD. They didn't touch him the entire game, I don't think.
I mean, that's the winning standard around here. You know, that's what we play. That's how we're supposed to play the game. You know, and, you know, that's great for them that they was able to, you know, do their jobs, you know, and make sure that a defense like that was not able to touch our quarterback. You know, hats off to them, and the job that they've been doing as a unit to just, you know, make sure they're protecting our quarterback and just, you know, becoming the unit that, you know, they want to be.
Talking to Brian Robinson Jr. on the year, he's run for 461 yards, has 6 touchdowns. Anthony Lynn, what has he meant to the running back room?
See, Lynn, he's a great, relatable guy. Like, he's, you know, experienced so much. You know, he's so helpful to us. Like, just with, it's the simple thing. It's not even about, like he doesn't have to do, like, nothing extremely extra to coach us. You know, it's just literally about, like, sharpening our tools. And he does a great job of just making sure that we are staying ahead of our game.
B-Rob, is there a friendly rivalry brewing between you and Jaden? Because right now, you only lead him by 2 yards for the team lead in rushing so far this season. Is there a back and forth between you guys as far as, like, who's going to lead the team in rushing? You guys are super close. You have 461. He's at 459.
Well, that's unfortunately very, very close. but I can't help that I have a quarterback with running ability that Jada has, speed and awareness he has to, you know, break pockets and break off long runs and big runs. So, like, you know, I just got to do my part all the time, you know, and it's always good to see that I have somebody next to me or a quarterback that can, you know, put up as much or more yards than I can. It's just crazy.
Brian, just talk about the difference – you know, it is from last year to this year in terms of when you're driving into Ashburn, driving to the facility, and, you know, you're looking forward to being there. Dan Quinn always talks about the brotherhood. That's the, you've used that word too, and he's used that word, brotherhood. It's just a totally different vibe. There was a story, I don't know if you saw this, there was a story over the weekend, Brian, that certain players who might be traded were telling their agents, I want to be traded to the Commanders. I don't know if you saw that. But now people want to come play there. There's something different. There's something brewing in your locker room that's totally different than the last 4 years when Rivera was there. And we like Ron Rivera, Brian. We like him. Nice guy. Yeah. We didn't think – no, nice guy. Just didn't do a good job, coaching and then or drafting. But besides you, of course. But talk about just the brotherhood and how different it is this year compared to last year.
Okay, well, honestly, I just feel like it's just a lot of winning attitudes flowing around here. Like, a lot of guys that, wants to win, guys that have been here that hasn't won since they've been here, we finally get, a coach, coaches with, the same type of drive and motives, to just, help us, want to, win. And, everybody feels it, in the building. Guys from outside the building, they obviously see it. They feel it. When they play us, they feel our energy, and it's contagious. I don't see how it can't be contagious. Anybody who's a true competitor, a true baller, and wants to win and wants to be a part of a winning culture, they should be blowing up when they see us coming.
All right, so let's get to Jaden. Take us back to when you realized this kid was special. I don't know how much college football you were watching once you got into the league. He wins the Heisman. Is it the first practice? Is it the first camp? When did Brian Robinson realize this kid's got it?
Honestly, when we started working together, obviously just on a more of a schedule, and I just kind of started to see how he was going about his business and the meetings and learning the playbook and just, just stepping into his shoes and, making plays consistently, just climbing up that ladder. Then, I already, just knew that he was going to skyrocket. Like, he was just doing everything, that he was supposed to do, and if not more. And that has nothing to do with his abilities, that comes after, everything that he was doing to just prepare himself, his mind, body, and soul.
How are you feeling today? Do you think you're going to go against the Steelers, or can you talk about it?
I'm not. I feel good. Obviously sitting out this weekend, helped me. So, I feel great.
B-Rock.
And I'm ready to play.
That helps a little bit. That helps a little bit.
If that helps anybody, I'm ready.
Right. Well, I got you on one of my fantasy teams, so I kind of need to know.
That's creeping in.
Okay, so it's one of those little fantasy crossovers.
Yeah. I mean,
so B-Rob, we're hoping you play, but the running back room, really, it was a team effort against the Giants. I mean, Chris Rodriguez looked really good. He had 11 carries. Eckler had 11 carries as well. He scores. We know Jaden chipped in, and Jeremy McNichol. So it wasn't just like one guy had to take on the load there. Like, it was a real group effort to get that win from the running back room with you on the sideline.
Man, and that's just a testament of our group and, the work that we put in, just, making sure that everybody on board, when it's time to, strap up and go get the win. Regardless of the circumstances, stuff happens. That's something we, we preach and we, talk about, from day one. It's a long season, stuff happens. Everybody got to be ready. Everybody got to be prepared, going to start. And, it's going to show when it shows, and I'm just glad that they was ready for it when it, when it came to their test.
All right, Brian, I got to flip the script here and talk about your boys. There's a big game on Saturday down in Baton Rouge. I believe when you were at Bama, you beat LSU 3 out of 4. I could be wrong on that, but I think you did. It's kind of an elimination game because when you were in college, it was the 4-team playoff. Now they've expanded it to 12 teams. So it's kind of an elimination game, certainly for Bama, because if Bama loses, it'll be their third loss. Talk about the matchup and how are you feeling with your boys going down to Baton Rouge to play the Tigers.
Well, like I said, it's the first time in years where I've actually felt like this would really be a good, you know, a great matchup, man. I really, really can go either way. And I'm behind my guys 100%, you know. You know, I'm rooting for them. You know, hostile environment, mm-hmm. you know, a team that's, you know, pushing for something. And, you know, it's just one of those weeks, you know. I'm excited to see how it all unfolds, you know. I got Jaden chirping at me.
Right.
He's been chirping since the season started.
Chirp, chirp, chirp.
Yeah, so it's like, what made me feel no any better for them to just beat them so I can just get Jay to just be quiet for the rest of the season. that'll make up for us losing to Vandy and Tennessee and, you know, possibly not even, you know, going
to the playoffs. So. Right. Yeah, did you bet dinner on it with Jaden?
Can't talk betting with NFL players.
It's just dinner. I'm not talking about money. It's just dinner. That's what you should have done. So it's just bragging rights.
I'm gonna make him dress up as Big Al if we win for sure.
Very good. All right, speaking of dinner, it's time now for the Pizza Bowlies question of the week. Pizza Bowlies offering wings, subs, and more. Pizza Bowlies delivers more taste. Download the Pizza Bowlies app for easy ordering.
Brian, we got a question. Are you ready to chip T.J. Watt?
Oh, boy.
T.J. Watt?
Yep.
I mean, yeah, of course I am. Like, it's easy, you know?
Have you played against T.J. before?
I have not.
I have not. Okay.
It's going to be fun.
He's looking forward to the challenge.
Yeah. Right.
Do you enjoy that part of the game? I mean, obviously you like scoring touchdowns and stuff, but do you like helping the offensive line chipping? How difficult is it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially against guys like TJ, like it makes me feel good that I can keep him off my quarterback. And I look forward to stuff like that. I look forward to competing against guys like that. And, you know, like I got asked some questions earlier about Myles Garrett, and that was nothing. Uh-huh. You know, so we're gonna see how it all unfolds.
Brian, do you think that Adam Peters will make any trade deadline moves?
I'm not sure, but
good answer. That's the best answer of the day from you, B-Rob. Smart. You're diplomatic.
All right. Thank you very much. Hey, need your walk-up song next week.
I got you. Thank you.
All right. That's Brian Robinson, presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. He's going to join us every Tuesday throughout the rest of the Commanders season. When we come back, we will do Cakes' entertainment page. We'll do that next here on the Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. About to get into Cakes' entertainment page. After the EP is done, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Iron Maiden in Baltimore. So keep listening for your chance to win those tickets. But right now, it is time for the entertainment page, driven by BMW of Fairfax. He may not be the most interesting man in the world, but EB's buddy Mike Walker over at BMW of Fairfax has no interest in charging you interest. 2.99%. on most X Series models, limited time only. More info at BMWOfFairfax.com. All right, Al Valdez, this one is custom made for the Yes No Men, you know, our burgeoning side project that hasn't quite gotten off the ground. It's more...
We're looking for angel investors.
We are always looking for investors. Mission Impossible 8's budget is approaching $400 million. Mm. And the studio wants to promote the movie as the franchise's final installment. But Tom Cruise wants to keep it going.
He doesn't want to. He likes those checks.
He's only 62.
Yeah.
He's basically said, I've got 20 years to catch up with Harrison Ford, who's a legend.
I can't believe there's been almost, there's eight of them. This is the eighth one.
Eighth installment.
Wow. I think they're all good. I would keep it going.
I generally think they're good, but if it comes down to a pragmatic yes, no men deal, I might balk at a $400 million budget. Now, yeah. I understand you're going to recoup that, especially with international money, but that's a big bloated budget.
You know what we would tell the studio? Hurts your ROI.
Definitely hurts your return on investment, yes. The very technical business term you're using there, Valdez. I like it.
Yeah.
When's it set to come out?
I haven't read that far into the story. So. Couldn't tell. I don't know.
So is this...
First trailer is due in the coming weeks, but I don't have a release date.
So is this the part two of Dead Reckoning?
This is where I have to defer to Drab T-Shirt, who fancies himself a Mission Impossible expert. More expert than me.
I mean, more than cakes. I just knew there was a part two.
Yeah, so I think this is the film after part two. So I think part two is already in the can, and they've filmed this one.
So this is the ninth one.
Ninth total, but okay. MI8, because there's an MI7 part one and part two.
Yeah, because they're calling it the untitled eighth mission.
Right.
It's coming out in May. Scheduled release in May.
I don't know why. Cakes turns his nose up at those movies. I mean, it's just perfect summer blockbuster fun, what we all love going to the theater for.
Tend to agree. Here's my issue with them. I feel they're a little too long. I tend to get distracted about 2+ hours into it. Maybe I just have a short attention span. Maybe I'm stupid. Maybe I can't quite keep up with the plot. Maybe I can't keep up with the entity, the new AI that they've trotted out as the villain in the latest installment.
Ving Rhames is in it.
Well,
is
Ving
he in all?
Rhames and
is he in all of them?
He started
in like MI4.
Can you imagine those dumb checks that he gets for each installment? And then the royalties.
Simon Pegg, former Junkies guest.
Simon Pegg also in the mix.
I'd much rather watch Simon these Pegg blockbuster movies than Roadhouse 2 or something like that.
Okay. Roadhouse, the remake, was especially bad. I wouldn't comp it to that.
I actually enjoyed it. I was entertained only because it was free.
Right. I was kind of entertained just because it was so bad. It's like so bad it was kind of good movie.
It was over the top bad.
Yeah. It was over the top.
You're comping it to the original, the OG with Patrick Swayze, which is actually pretty good.
I'm curious because Drab is the Mission Impossible expert.
He is, yes. You've been dubbed that now,
like
Drab.
I would like to see, because there's seven MIs out, I would like for Drab to rank all of his Mission Impossibles.
You would?
Yeah, I'm interested in the list.
Okay.
There's no way you could remember the plot lines. Yeah.
You know not. What? He'll come up with that as soon as B-Rob comes up with his walk-up music.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem that stressed about picking a song. I know it probably keeps Jason up at night.
No,
Mission
Impossible. Mission Impossible 1 was about the knock list. Everyone remembers that.
I don't remember
where
that.
Where all the agents can be named that are out in the field. Come on, everyone knows that. Number two.
I know there was a Ghost Protocol at some point.
Yeah, there was a Ghost Protocol. Number two was where he had the motorcycle. I think that was a John Woo installment.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Number three was the one with Philip Seymour Hoffman, and they had Crimea, which was the virus
pour
that was going to kill everyone.
Hey, this is Valdez's bit. No, don't be impressed.
Is he looking at something?
He pretends like he's an expert or something and then gets half the information wrong. He did this about James Bond and got all the information wrong. It's his number one hit that he loves to do. I'm an expert at this. Here's
you know what? I was sold.
Rogue Nation was about how the MI got disbanded.
Okay.
All right. Ghost Protocol. That was the Burj Khalifa one.
Okay. Yeah. That's the one where didn't Tom Cruise dive into like something underwater and swam around for about 4 minutes holding his breath the whole time?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
You act like that's hard.
He's a Navy SEAL all of a sudden. You can hold his breath for 3.5 minutes. All right, so $400 million.
You didn't know it was a big MI stan.
I didn't know. Wasn't aware.
Who played in Mission Impossible 3, Valdez? Who played Ethan Hunt's fiance? She was a nurse.
Ooh, keep it clean.
And she was
Penelope Cruz.
Michelle Monaghan.
Oh. Mm. Yeah, I mean, that's just a random. Well, you got to go back to the drawing board.
He's flexing.
All I know is who played.
But he was right. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
The only thing I know is who played Ethan Hunt.
That's all you really need.
That's all I know.
Yeah.
And I don't really care.
I know you don't care that much.
But they're fun. Those movies are fun.
All right.
Yeah.
See eye to eye on that.
I would give a no, thumbs down, but then it's going to make $2 billion at the box office, and then I look stupid.
I'm sure it will.
Sean Diddy Combs, do you care to know his birthday meal as he's behind bars, if you really care?
No.
Well, his lunch, I'm going to tell you anyway. Here was his lunch. He had pasta with marinara sauce, meatballs, and a garden salad. His birthday dinner options, and these are both terrible. Well, one is more terrible than the other. His dinner options are 1, chicken. 2, I would never order this in a trillion years, tofu fried rice with black beans and carrots. Which one would you order, Jason, of those two meals?
I mean,
chicken or tofu fried rice?
I guarantee the chicken sucked anyway. Probably was all terrible. Well, of course I'm not going to eat tofu.
Last month, Diddy's attorney disclosed that, quote, "The food is probably the roughest part of his client's jail stint so far." Mm. So Diddy's going to be dining on some tofu fried rice and or chicken tonight. What are you eating tonight, Jason? Tonight is a Taco Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday tonight, yeah.
Homemade tacos?
Homemade tacos, yes, but I like beans and rice from a certain Mexican restaurant in Ashburn, so I go pick up the beans and rice.
All right.
And I bring it back, and my wife actually makes the tacos.
Do you ever shake
their
it up?
Because their beans and rice are better than my wife's beans and rice.
Yeah. Do you ever shake it up with the protein in the tacos, or is it always chicken?
No, I do it. Yeah, we mix it up.
You ever do, like, fish tacos?
Of course. Do it all.
Shrimp
tonight,
tacos?
Tonight, probably beef tacos.
Steak tacos?
No. Well, we don't do steak tacos.
Are the taco shells always?
Although last time we did, remember, I had the leftover steak.
That's correct. Are the taco shells always hard, or you mix it up with the soft taco?
Mix it up.
Okay, good. Like that.
Yep.
Variety's the spice life, cake.
Certainly is.
Are you doing Taco Tuesday? Household.
Taco Tuesday? What's?
Are you doing?
I'm not sure what we're doing for dinner tonight.
Oh, okay. You don't
TBD.
You don't do Taco Tuesdays.
No. I mean, I'm sure I've had a taco on a Tuesday, but it's not like a regular.
It's not a standard.
No, it's not.
It's not part of the menus. All right.
Sad news from the music world. Quincy Jones, the multi-talented music titan, whose vast legacy ranged from producing Michael Jackson's historic Thriller album to writing prize-winning film and TV scores, and he collabed with Frank Sinatra, Ray Charles, and hundreds of other recording artists, died at the age of what, Jason? Mm. How old was Quincy Jones when he passed?
I know the answer.
I saw it yesterday. He was in his 90s, wasn't he?
He was, yes.
93?
91. Died Sunday night
at his
home.
That's a good run.
It's a very good run.
Great run.
Died in the Bel Air section of L.A., surrounded by his family.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he wrote all of it, but he was responsible for We Are the World.
Yes.
That's a pretty big one. Raised a lot of money for famine victims. Very nice.
Safe to say he knew everybody in the music industry. Yeah. Pretty much everybody.
Safe to say he was pretty plugged in the music biz. Yeah. So Quincy Jones passes at the age of 91. Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck may be going through a divorce, but it sounds like things are amicable between the two. While promoting Small Things Like These, which he produced, Affleck also discussed another film, Unstoppable, that stars Don Cheadle, Bobby Cannavale, that's one of Jason's guys, and Jennifer Lopez. He said, "Jennifer is spectacular. We believed in the right people, and Unstoppable is another example of that. Unstoppable tells the true story of wrestler Anthony Robles, who was born with one leg and went on to win a national title in 2011. So I guess things are still good friends-wise between Ben and J-Law.
All the Small Things. Good song.
It's a great song.
Yep. Unstoppable also is a movie that came out in 2010 with Denzel Washington and Chris Pine.
Ooh,
can I feel like it was a train that wasn't stopping?
I think you're right. Yeah, Chris Pine tried to stop like a runaway train. Nice. I don't remember Denzel's role, what he did.
I think I saw that and I can't remember. Unstoppable.
Come on, give us the plot. Give us a plot synopsis, Jason.
That was the plot right there.
Chris Pine tried to stop a runaway train.
Yeah. The problem is Denzel's in two train movies. And they're kind of similar.
Hold on.
He wasn't in an Unstoppable?
No, he is.
Oh, okay.
Don't tell me. He's in another train movie.
Yeah. With John Travolta.
Oh, Taking of Pelham 1-2-3, right?
Yeah.
That's a silly pull.
That is a good pull.
That's a good pull. I think it was a remake, too.
It is.
Yeah, thank you. I know everything about the Taking of Pelham 1-2-3. Not really. Couldn't tell you one thing about it other than Travolta and Denzel Washington starred in it. This is sad news. James Vanderbeek says he has colorectal cancer. Mm. The Dawson's Creek alum told CNN in a statement Sunday that he's battling colorectal cancer. Quote, I've been privately dealing with this diagnosis and have been taking steps to resolve it with the support of my incredible family. He's 47 years old. He has 6 children with his wife.
Wow.
In the U.S., about 1 in 23 men and 1 in 25 women will be diagnosed with colorectal cancer in their lifetime. So go get those colonoscopies. Makes sense. It's easy to do.
I've had two.
Only had one this point.
Got
one looming.
Just had it earlier this year.
Got one looming in a couple years.
What's the number of kids that always amazes you when you meet somebody? Like, you have three, I have three.
I'd say
when
anything,
I hear four, it's just me. One more than me. Yeah. When I hear four, I'm like, wow.
I think anything five or higher, I'm just like, that's a big number.
And there are a lot of families at St. Elizabeth's, which is where Isabella goes to school.
Yeah.
St. E's, mm-hmm. that have four kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very Catholic families.
Yeah.
Catholic.
And a lot of them, their four kids, like, I have three, but they're spread out. I mean,
right.
It's easier to handle. A lot of them will have four kids. In a span of like 6 years.
Yeah, I was going to say every 2 years.
I don't know how you handle that. When your kids have activities everywhere, you're just
figuring out
carpools, I guess.
My mother was one of 11.
Mm-hmm. That's a, oh, that's
my,
a
my
big
grandmother
one.
Was having them basically every year. I mean, I don't know how she did it.
Hey, Jason.
She was giving birth and getting pregnant the next day. Yeah. What?
Grandma was getting after it.
She was what? She getting after it? Yeah. Eleanor was getting after it.
Was she
Irish Catholic from New York?
Sorry, I don't mean
that. It's fine. She would laugh at it too.
Chris Martin from Coldplay apparently still so on tilt about you humming clocks in the van at the Nutcracker that he fell into a trap door on the stage.
Whoops.
While he was in a concert.
How was there a hole on the stage?
I don't know. Like, that seems like a flaw. How did he not see it? Like, seems like a big flaw to your stage
when
the lead singer, the most important guy on the stage, falls into a big hole. But I guess he got held up by, like, some of the security. We're like, oh, this mate's about to fall in a hole. That's the worst Australian accent of all time. But he's okay. He's going to survive. Don't worry about Chris Martin. He's good. All right, I told you to listen to the end of the segment, and you would have a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Iron Maiden. Now is your time. 10th caller at 800-636-1067. You're going to score two tickets to Iron Maiden, the Future Past World Tour, Tuesday, November 12th. At CFG Bank Arena. Tickets are on sale right now. For tickets and more event info, go to thefandc.com/events. Caller 10 at 800-636-1067 wins. Coming up before the show is done, we will give you a chance to win a $100 gift card courtesy of Metropolitan Hospitality Group. So be sure to keep listening to win that fantastic prize. Today, two very important things happening. One, it's election day. Two, it's NFL trade deadline day.
I thought you were going to bring up, Jason said at the beginning of the show that it's also college football rankings day.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's, I guess,
the first,
true.
The first of six.
Do you actually, like, watch that on TV when they unveil the rankings?
Of course.
How long is this program that you're speaking
well,
of?
Well, I don't know. With 12, they like to drag it on, so it's, I don't know, probably an hour.
Mm. What time does it start?
Might be at 7. Maybe.
Just remember, he's another level of sports fan. Like, he watches intentional talk.
So it's like post-dinner, you're going to be like,
I'll be laying in bed watching it.
Like, don't bother me. The college football rankings are, the playoff rankings are about to come out.
Yes. Well, she'll be watching one of her shows on the iPad.
Okay.
So she won't be talking.
Got it.
She's just watching.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I do. I love that
stuff. Well, you'll probably also be digesting the NFL trade deadline, which ends at 4 p.m. today. And a report from CBSSports.com said the Commanders have gauged interest in a possible trade involving Emmanuel Forbes. And you touched on this earlier. That's according to NFL insider Josina Anderson. The Ravens, Bengals, and Cardinals are among the teams that could be in on a possible trade involving Forbes. So Forbes could be on the move before 4 p.m. today. And look, we've talked about it for a couple weeks. Like, if he's just on your sideline and he's either active and not playing or he's not active for games, you might as well see what you can get for him in a trade. I don't think they're going to get anything more than like a fifth or a sixth round pick.
Right.
But look, Adam Peters, he wants to stockpile as much draft capital and as many draft picks as he can. And if you have somebody that the coaching staff clearly doesn't have plans on utilizing, you might as well shop him around and see what you can get. Do you think he moves today before the deadline? Do you think they get
a good
enough offer?
There's too much chatter. There's just been too much chatter over the last 24 hours.
Right.
So I think he will.
I think he will, too. And again, it's another Ron remnant for them to get rid of.
Yeah.
And there aren't many of them left.
But Brian Robinson is one. Well, that's why I had to specify.
Chris Rodriguez.
When we had B-Rob earlier and I said Ron was terrible at drafts.
I did like your qualifier.
I had to say, besides you, of course.
I would like to sit
which is accurate.
I would like to sit down at a bar with B-Rob without any recording devices around and get his real take on one Ron Rivera. I'm going to guess he wouldn't have many, if any, good things to say about him.
No, I mean,
I disagree. I think he might actually as a person, have some nice things to say.
Maybe
about
as a person.
Maybe as a person.
But the team sucked.
But as a coach and as a leader of the team, the guys in the clubhouse.
The team did suck.
I mean, he played for Saban in college.
Right.
So, you know, it's gonna be hard to compare, but he was always used to winning.
Mm-hmm.
So it must have sucked for the last 3 years. He was drafted in 22, right? Yeah, 2 years.
Yeah. Some other NFL trade news.
Who else got dealt?
We talked about this earlier. The Lions acquired Za'Darius Smith from the Browns, so they upgrade their pass rushing void as Aiden Hutchinson went down with a gruesome leg injury a few weeks ago. So they acquired him from the Browns and a 2026 seventh round pick in exchange for a 2025 fifth rounder. So not a lot to give up for an accomplished pass rusher that you can just plug into that defensive line. I think that's a smart move.
And I assume he's on his last year of his deal.
I'd have to pull that up. I don't have that info.
But the Lions are clearly making a considerable effort, not just to replace Hutchinson, but they want to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And this guy could help him do it.
Mm-hmm. And the only,
'cause he's good.
The only other deal of note that's come across the wire, and this was within the last hour, Cincinnati is adding Khalil Herbert in a deal with the Chicago Bears. So Zach Moss out indefinitely with a neck injury. So a lot of the rushing load had to go to Chase Brown this past weekend.
And he had a really good game.
He stepped in admirably. I believe he had like 27 carries.
He had a bunch.
So Khalil Herbert, who had kind of fallen out of favor in that running back room in Chicago, he's on the move to the Bengals. I like that as a depth move for the Bengals case Moss can't go the rest of the way.
Right. So I think those are the only two guys that have been dealt today. Correct?
So far.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Za'Darius Smith thing makes sense because when you don't have Hutchinson, you realize Hutchinson is still in the top five in sacks in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Feels like he's been out several weeks.
He probably would have
20.
Maybe
it's only a couple of games, but he's still in the top five. And look, that is a team you pretty much can almost put them in pen. They're going to be in the NFC Championship game, right?
I mean, anything can happen.
I mean, they just have to win one home playoff game, and then they'd be hosting the NFC title game if they get a bye.
Probably.
If they stay on this
stay
path
as the one
that they're on.
That's why every game is huge for them.
I'm going to have to go back and look at my preseason picks. Did I pick the Lions to be in the Super Bowl?
I think
I might have.
I could get it out if you wanted me to.
I think I've got Lions, Chiefs, but I also had the Jets doing.
I had the
damage.
Jets. I think.
I think a lot of us picked the Jets.
God, what a terrible pick
to do work.
I mean, they're going to win like five games.
I have the Chiefs over the Lions in the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's a great pick.
Maybe.
What do you mean?
Long
maybe?
Ways to go. I mean, I like it right now.
I mean, the combined records are 15-1. It's pretty damn good. Could have two one seeds there.
Who did you have?
I have the Chiefs beating the Lions in the Super Bowl.
We might be going head to head because I have the Lions over the Chiefs. Could be a good one. Could be solid. My one glaring miss as far as wild cards, I didn't have the Steelers making the playoffs. They always make the playoffs under Mike Tomlin. What was I doing? Why didn't somebody just grab me and say, pick the Steelers as one of your wild cards at a minimum? I didn't do it. It's going to hurt me.
Because you probably told yourself Justin Fields is...
No. I was too busy picking the Dolphins
to make you feel better.
Well, you know what? That
to make you
happened.
Feel better, Cakes. I also didn't pick the Steelers. I had the Chargers, the Bengals, and the Dolphins. Mm. Two of those were looking quite shaky.
Yep.
Well, I had Miami and Jacksonville winning their divisions. All right. I'm out on the AFC. NFC, I had Philly, Detroit, Atlanta, San Francisco. Still way in the mix on the NFC.
Man, I love my Sam Darnold bold prediction. I basically look like Einstein with this prediction.
What is the prediction?
Sam Darnold turns in a career year leading the Vikings offense. Throws for over 4,000 yards and 28 touchdowns.
All right.
The Vikings flirt with a playoff bid.
So what do you think the odds are that the Commanders do make a trade today?
I think
I'm going to go less than 50. If I give you 50-50, which side are you on?
I'm going to go over 50 because I think Forbes will be dealt.
68.5% chance they make a deal. They make some form of deal. I don't know whether it's to upgrade the secondary or the pass rush. Something to take care of the defense.
Jason did bring up the Eagles game, like looking ahead to the Eagles game and stopping the run, stopping Barkley, stopping Hurts. It's not initially what you think of, because initially you think they need help on the back line, mm-hmm. corners. But without Jonathan Allen there, you don't have the depth that you once had.
Right.
Well, look at the teams that could possibly be in the playoffs, most likely. Philly with Barkley. Mm-hmm. Detroit. I mean, they're going.
That's not two running backs.
They got two guys.
Yeah.
The Vikings, they've got Aaron Jones. Mm-hmm. That's legit. The Packers have Jacobs. Atlanta, they don't have the threat that those other teams have, but Bijan can still hurt you.
Bijan and Algier is a pretty good 1-2 punch there.
And if the 49ers get healthy, you got McCaffrey.
Yep.
I mean, you've got some legit teams. Mm-hmm. And if the Rams get there, they got Kyron. I mean, you got legit RBs with all those NFC teams. So they've got to do something, I think, to try and help themselves stop the run.
So we'll see if the Commanders make any deals leading up to the 4 p.m. deadline. We're going to take the 10th caller right now at 800-636-1067. What are you going to win? How about a $100 gift card courtesy of Metropolitan Hospitality Group? Good at any of our restaurants. That's Open Road, Circa, Heirloom, Salt, Trio, or El Bebe. So the 10th caller right now at 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You are going to win. We will see you tomorrow. B. Mitch and Finley, they're up next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight.
Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.